Hello, and welcome to Denver Music Community, where we bring you interviews, news, and reviews from the wonderful city of Denver, Colorado. I'm Boots.
And I'm Sean. On this episode, we interview Kenny Vosco of Doghouse Music Studios, and we take a listen to the newest album by the band Stone Riot. But first, the news.
Denver's Museum of Contemporary Art, also known as the MCA, will be hosting a unique concert series this year. The MCA has been known in recent years to host summer shows on the rooftop, but has had to change it up this year a bit due to COVID. Instead of having bands and guests on the MCA rooftop, bands will be performing on the rooftop of the parking garage across the street while patrons sit at tables at the MCA rooftop. Tickets are being sold in tables of two or four, and VIP options are also available. Tickets start at $120 for the event or can be watched online for free. For more information about what local artists are playing this event this year, you can check out the MCA website linked in the show notes below. Next, Denver is implementing a five-star certification system to allow venues to have larger capacities. According to this new program, if a venue passes an advanced health and safety inspection, they can increase their capacity from 50 people, or 50%, to 225 people within 6-foot spacing between groups. The only theaters currently with this certification as of this recording are the Bluebird Theater and Cervantes, but I'm sure more venues will be moving toward this certification soon. For a current list of all five-star certified venues, check the link in the show notes. Finally, a beloved music and poetry venue in Denver may be gaining a new owner soon. Mercury Cafe owner Marilyn McGinty, who's 70 years old, is looking for someone to sell the restaurant to. This, however, is not something new, as Marilyn was in talks with a restaurant group before COVID, who then decided not to take her on once COVID hit. She is now looking to sell to an individual or group, but that could keep Mercury the way that it is and continue to have her involved. While she's had some offers on the restaurant already, she isn't going to sell to just anybody and is adamant that the Mercury Cafe will live on after its sale. Today we will be reviewing the self-titled album from Stone Riot. This is a four-piece band formed in 2019, and this appears to be their first album. The band itself remains relatively anonymous, and not much is known about where they recorded, the recording process, or the band themselves.
All right, yeah, and so the first track on the album is the single, and it's called The Tables Have Turned.
Beginning, you get this really great texture with all the instruments, but especially, you know, they use unique instrumentation by having a flute present throughout the album and also on the song.
Yeah, and I'll mention a few different possible references for this album, but this made me think of Jethro Tull, just the prevalent flute throughout the album.
The vocalist was a really strong female singer, and it's always great to have female representation in that role in music.
Yeah, in general, I think the album has a really great feel. It kind of feels like you're there. It feels like you're in an intimate, small music venue in the late 80s, early 90s. It just really has a great, like, dark tone and really puts you in a certain place.
Yeah. That place being, for me at least, the kind of early 90s grungy psychedelic aesthetic.
You know, despite the strong continuity and the tone throughout the tracks, it still does stay engaging throughout. Yep. And the production is really great as well.
I would totally agree with those. And I would also think that it's because of its dark, kind of laid-back nature, would just be a great album for chilling out, smoking some weed, hanging out with your friends kind of vibes.
And we also felt that the opening song was definitely representative of the entire album. It was a good one to start with.
Yeah, and great as a single for that reason, of it being really representative of the album and a strong song.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed pretty much right away and throughout the album is this great, dirty, dark kind of desert guitar tone.
Yes, and it sounds like there are also several guitars throughout the album that are very well textured and layered together with great matching kinds of tones.
Right, and the next track we're talking about is So Low.
Deeper, darker, spookier track than the previous track we spoke about.
Yeah, I got a spooky feeling from it. I felt like it could work in certain horror films. The vocals are very expressive, but also dialed back. I don't feel a lot of ego from the vocalist.
There is definitely a really great interplay in the song between the flute solo and the guitar, and that brings out, as Sean had said in the previous song, that desert rock feel.
The whole thing is, it's warm and full and kind of groovy, like it really gets in the pocket and stays there, which is something that I personally like. Getting some Jefferson Airplane and Susie and the Banshees kind of feelings from the vocals.
Going back to that groove thought, I think that the drummer does a really good job of staying in that kind of groove pocket and just holding the tempo really well throughout the whole album, and just that really sets the tone for that groovy kind of aesthetic.
And also throughout the album there's a lot of smaller parts and textures and things that are blended in really well. I can tell there seems to be multiple guitar parts sometimes, and there's harmonies with the vocals that are just pretty seamless that you don't notice unless you're really listening. And and also with this track, I was feeling, as far as a reference goes, to the band Goat.
So the next song we're going to talk about is Just Bow. This song reminded us both very heavily, and the female singer generally reminded us very heavily of the front woman for Mr. Gnome.
And yeah, as far as the production goes, still on this track, everything sits very well in the mix. It's EQ'd very well. Everything comes through, every bit of the drums, and everything is notched out really well. And yeah, also on top of that, the musicianship is really great. Everybody's really tight and good at what they do, and I like how they leave in minor mistakes. That makes it feel more human.
So the last track we discussed was A Better Way to Say Goodbye, which is the finale track off of this album.
As I
It is very ballady and sad.
Yeah, this is actually one of my favorites on the album. Yeah, it was slow, really melodic. It had a great vocal melody going on. It's a good way to end it because it's the cellist song, probably.
And it also it's an interesting kind of play on the idea of saying goodbye and it being the last track on an album, which I think is probably intentional and very clever.
Yep. So, yeah, we recommend checking out this album. The band is Stone Riot, and the title of the album is...
Stone Riot.
There we go. Check it out. It's on Spotify and everywhere else.
And now for our interview with Kenny Vasco of Doghouse Music Studios.
Yeah, let's kick this off with, can you tell us who you are and what do you see your role in the Denver music world?
Yeah, my name is Kenny Vasco. My wife and I own Doghouse Music Studios in Lafayette, Colorado. And I think our role here is just to be an incubator and a catalyst for moving the music scene forward here, getting people the visibility that they want or they need. And to, you know, our motto is we always want to leave artists better than we find them.
Totally. I think that's a good motto.
How did you get into this role that you have in the music industry?
Completely by accident, like most people in the music industry.
Yep.
So I was an accountant for 15 years, and I basically was looking for something else. You know, my wife was looking for something else too. At the same time, I thought the direction I was going to go is I was going to quit the firm I was working for and just do tax returns for friends and family. Mm-hmm. and have a little small shop. So I was like, oh, I'll look for office space. And when I was looking for office space, this ad came up, commercial building for sale comes with music studio. And I went to my wife, Liz, and I said, we have to at least take a look.
And that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
So can you describe
6 months later we own a building.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about how it's laid out there at Doghouse? So you got a pretty good size stage there.
Yeah. So right now I'm in the end studio, which is about 1,000 square feet. And we have two live stream studios, this one and Studio A, which is about 800 square feet. The entire complex, we have about 23 studios, and we have a number of artists in residence studios where people just leave their stuff. They rent it out by the month, and they rehearse, they record, they write, you know, whatever it is they want to do in that room. And then we also have a number of hourly spaces as well, where bands can come in and rent by the hour.
Cool.
It sounds like you have different types of services for all types of musicians and all the needs that a musician could have.
That's our goal. Yeah. We started out when we first took over the place, it was strictly a rehearsal studio, but it had a reputation for having some big names coming through it. So what we did is we asked artists that were coming in and out, hey, what else can we do? And that led to us starting the live streaming. That led to us starting recording, doing videography packages, sizzle reels, if you will, a number of marketing materials, helping out bands with their electronic press kits or EPKs. So pretty much whatever people ask, you know, they say, hey, can you help us do this? We're like, maybe this is a service now.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, very nice.
And it sounds like having the business background is helpful in being able to offer all those types of services and knowing what marketing things might need to happen.
Yeah, It's really amazing because you may hear someone with a wealth of talent and then nobody will know about them. or they might not know about negotiating with a venue. They might not know about contracts. Somebody comes to them with something that's too good to be true and we help them pump the brakes and ask the right questions, things like that. I'm very fortunate. My wife is an absolute star at marketing. So between my financial acumen and Liz's marketing background, we feel like we can provide bands with a lot.
Nice. What led you to move to Colorado? You're from New Jersey originally, right?
That's right. You move here for two reasons, love or weed, right? I moved for love. I met my now wife in 2011. A friend of mine said, hey, come out to Boulder for a weekend. You might like it. Really never looked back. I spent the next year going to Colorado whenever I would find a cheap flight. And then I had some life changes with my job. And I said, well, maybe I'll look for a job out in Colorado. And
you that's know, cool. That's, that seems like kind of a common story for people moving down here. Yeah. So tell us about your experience with booking shows during a pandemic. How much did you do that before the pandemic?
So we were just getting off the ground. So the venue that you see behind me is we were grooming it to be a venue. Previously, this has just been a rehearsal space for bands before they go play Red Rocks or Pepsi Center or Boulder Theater, you know, like the Motet and Elvis Costello and the like. We were in the midst of turning it into a venue. We had a couple of pop-up shows, for lack of a better term. So Ramachandra did a single release here. We sold the place out in 3 days. We had a couple of other concerts right before March of 2020.
And yeah, that's we said, a good great, time. Let's,
yeah, exactly. We were like, we're going to do it. We're going to make it. And then as we were filling out our liquor license forms, we started getting a wave of cancellations.
Gosh, and we're, that's and good we're like, and bad timing.
Right, exactly. So for instance, we had a show scheduled with Card Catalog on March 26th. And we were about halfway through ticket sales with that. And we had to pull the plug, you know, a week or so before saying we just, you know, in good conscience can't have shows anymore. And that was also the day the lockdown started. So that was the beginning of the next phase here.
Yeah. And so my understanding is that you then transitioned into live stream shows. And how do you envision live streaming, or are you going to go back to in-person shows once it is safe to do so in the post-pandemic world?
Yeah. So when we were in during lockdown, right before lockdown, we were approached by one of our artists in residence, Dirt Monkey, who said, hey, all my gigs are canceled. I've never live streamed before. Do you think we could give it a shot? So we spent the next week running HDMI cables through walls and setting up whatever cameras we could find. We changed the stage lighting around in here. And then all of a sudden we had 1,000 concurrent viewers watching a DJ in this room. And that was the catalyst for the live stream service. You know, that was the day lockdown started. So we spent the next 2 months trying to figure out, okay, is this a business? And you know, how can we do this? Since then we've done about 120 hours worth of live streaming for artists, for organizations, for nonprofits. When things open back up again, we want to provide in-person shows, but we think that streaming is going to survive. We think that streaming is now part of how people engage with the artists that they like. It's how artists engage with fans that they want to connect with on a more, much more intimate basis.
Exactly. And I think it is an inexpensive way for people who want to support a band to do so without the pressure of going to a live show.
Absolutely. And it's also a way to see in many cases, like I'll give the California Honey Drops as an example. When they do live streams, they are a band that peels back the curtain a little bit. You know, they're talking about, okay, you were playing A and you really need to play E, or you know, you need to hit the minor. And then, mm-hmm. you know, they might stop in the middle of a song and laugh it off and, you know, tell a couple of jokes in between. So I feel that live streaming is that personal connection that you may not get during a show, but you find a way to have that be part of the, you know, just one of the arrows in the quiver, so to speak, of how you engage with your audience.
Totally. Is there anything else that you'd like to say just while you're here?
I'm happy to be here. Like I never thought 3 years ago I would be working with music and musicians. This beats doing tax returns any day.
I'm guessing that you're a big music fan before you started.
Yeah. Like everyone else that went to college, I had a band in college. I was a front man, high energy, low talent. And, you know, I'd be the person that would rouse the crowd and while everyone else actually played instruments behind me.
Yeah, so that's all you need sometimes.
Exactly. And then, I mean, I I get antsy if I don't go to at least one concert every couple of weeks, especially moving to Colorado, whether it was Cervantes, Red Rocks, Boulder Theater, somebody's. I remember we ended up at like 3 o'clock in the morning with like a freestyle rap battle in somebody's apartment one night. Like, you know, it's the great thing about Colorado is you're finding music wherever you are and wherever you're going.
Yeah.
And people always have a recommendation for you. Almost everyone that I have met in Colorado has a certain, either a certain direction that they like musically, or they're completely open, like Blue Ocean, to just about anything. So they might be listening to death metal one day and mariachi bands the next day.
For sure.
How can people get in touch with you? How can they support you? How can they get booked?
Yeah, our website is doghousemusic.com. So that's where musicians can come and look at our services, look at our live streaming packages, videography packages, rehearsal packages. If you are a fan of music and you want to support what's going on here, we have an underdog membership where just for a few dollars a month, you can help keep the cost low for local and independent musicians here for the services that we provide. Hopefully we get a few sponsorships in the door this year and we can start offering 100 paid gigs to musicians in 2021.
Random unrelated question. Is there a dog of the Doghouse Studios?
Yes. Our dog Babs is the new logo for Doghouse.
Aww.
And any well-trained dog is perfectly welcome to come in and hang out with their musicians and friends and family and things.
Aww. Nice.
Nice.
Cool. Well, hey man, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, pleasure to meet both of you today.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Lovely to chat with you and get to know more about what you do.
Have a good day, Kenny.
Have a good day, Kenny.
You too. Take care.
All right, bye. Thank you for joining us for this month's podcast. You can find all the links to the things we talked about today in the show notes. Additionally, if you like what we do, you could support us on Venmo, Patreon, or by buying our t-shirts. You can find those linked at denvermusiccommunity.com, also in the show notes. We release a podcast on the last weekend of every month. Thanks for tuning in.